This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
No, I'm guilty of knocking the Biden regime just about every day. I find fault in many things they do. I think they're a lawless regime, as we learned more yesterday from Jen Psaki, the Ginger Goebbels, who said, who admitted essentially they're flying illegal aliens around the country and dispersing them. She just quarreled with the time of the flights. Yeah. She was asked about the early morning flight, the flights in the middle of the night. She said, oh, no, they're not the middle of the night. They're 4 a.m. So they're early flights. That's their defense for flying illegal aliens, putting them on planes in Texas and flying up to New York or Tennessee or wherever. They could easily direct those planes, you know, back to Guatemala or back to El Salvador, but instead they bring them to New York because they're hoping soon they will be voting for their team. It's lawlessness. It's outrageous, but that's what they do. I don't want to dwell on that today, though, Corona. I want to give the Biden regime, I want to give Dementia Joe some credit.
Wow.
Yesterday, I know that's
big
hard
day.
To believe, but
huge day.
But you have to recognize, people who break that glass ceiling, people who go where no one's gone before, who are innovators and pioneers and trailblazers. And if you weren't paying attention yesterday, I didn't even know there was such thing as the U.S. Public Health Service Corps, but I'm sure it's important. It's vital. Has 6,000 people in it. I'm sure they're all hardworking. They're not just hacks. They're not just bureaucrats who punch in and work part time. You know, like Pete Buttigieg, someone like that. These are these are important people. These U.S. Public Health Service Corps members. Again, 6,000 of them. I don't know how long this hackerama has been around, but. Yesterday, the U.S. Public Health Service Corps made history. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. They elevated their first female four-star admiral. In the history of this organization, they never had a female four-star admiral. So they were boasting and bragging the Biden administration. And the New York Times, by the way, I'm reading directly from the New York Times tweet. It says, first female four-star admiral. This is how screwed up this administration is. And obviously, by extension, it's servants, manservants, it's slobbering sycophants in the media who carry their water at every turn. The media, and I expected it from the New York Times. I haven't looked at the Boston Globe. I'm sure it's similar. They mostly pilfer their stuff from their big brother, their big sister at the New York Times. Anyway, and it's a local girl. So I think we should all be proud. She's from Woburn, I believe, went to Belmont Hill. She's a local girl. I mean, she wasn't a girl when she was around here. In fact, she wasn't a girl for the first 54 years of her life. The first female four-star admiral in this organization has only been a female for 9 years. It's like the joke Dave Chappelle made in his latest
in the closer,
Netflix special, The Closer, where he talks about Caitlyn Jenner winning Woman of the Year. And she'd been a woman for a couple of years, and she beat out all the other women. Wasn't that amazing? I realize now that that was hate speech. It was offensive. It was over the line. If you're Dave Chappelle, you're allowed to make fun of any group of people, any minority. You're allowed to make fun of whatever, white guys or black guys or women, or you just can't mess with trans people. They're a protected class, and if you make a joke about a trans person, including a buffoon like Caitlyn Jenner, then they come for you. Then they storm into meetings at Netflix, and then they lead boycotts. That's why Chappelle is so wonderful, is because he knows it and did it anyway. Maybe he'll include this in his next special. By the way, quick aside on Dave Chappelle, did you see how much they paid him?
How much they pay him? No.
this is amazing. I'm not complaining. I'm not criticizing him. He made me laugh. He pissed off many of the right people. I thought it was terrific. I give it 2 thumbs up. But it had better be good for the money. I believe this was released by somebody at Netflix who wasn't happy. You know, they have trans employees who, you know, as we know, disrupted meetings, walked off the job, everything. They like comedians. They like when they make fun of people. They just don't like when they make fun of them. He made $24 million.
Wow.
And he earned every penny because he brought a lot of eyeballs to Netflix. They have a bottomless pit of money. It might not have been all for him, but that was the cost, I believe, in this document that was released, $24 million, maybe includes, you know, stage hands and travel expenses, but he made a hell of a lot of money for one night's work.
So it looks like, for the suite of specials that he did, he made $60 million. So they probably backloaded it a little bit. That's crazy money for 3 specials.
He likes to brag about walking away from the $50 million from Comedy Central, and he did, and for that I commend him, but I don't think he really, in the end, has lost a lot of money. He lives in Ohio in some small town. I think he's doing okay. I think he can afford cigarettes and private planes, and I think he's doing okay, and he's earned it. But hopefully in his next special, he zeroes in on Rachel Levine, because Rachel Levine deserves to be mocked. This is silly, and as I often say to you, Carano, I enjoy doing issues, topics, subjects that I could not do in my previous life. There is nobody at my previous radio station, or most radio stations for that matter, TV stations, you are not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to point out how outrageous, how ridiculous it is that they celebrate the first female 4-star admiral when this person was a male a couple of years ago and just, you know, had a personal crisis moment and became a female. And that person is advanced because that's the agenda for the Biden regime. They want to be the ones that advance this radical agenda. They celebrate it. But how many women are passed over? People who've been women like their whole lives are passed over so the lovely Rachel Levine can be celebrated and honored and treated like freaking Rosa Parks or Susan B. Anthony or what's her face? The first female Supreme Court Justice O'Connor.
Sandra Day O'Connor, yep.
Sandra Day O'Connor. I mean, they're real pioneers. They're real trailblazers out there. This ain't one.
No, there's levels of victimhood, and unfortunately, you've got trans folks are on a rung below women. So if a trans person elevates to a particular status, they're gonna get the praise to the detriment of other folks who are not at that level, that status of victimhood.
And it's a good point that they're the top of the victimhood totem pole right now is trans people. As we see, you go back and watch Chappelle's special and tell me he doesn't make fun of lots of people and lots of groups and lots of minority groups. Why is the only one that's, you know, walking off the job and demanding they ban it, demanding they apologize? Why are trans people the smallest group? I mean, a very, very small minority. We must indulge, you know, their desires, their wants and needs above all others. People who have decided that they are the wrong gender, the wrong sex, they're a female in a man's body, whatever. And nobody, at least in this point in time in 2021, is going to stop them, prevent them, legislate them out of their wants and needs. They get to be the gender that they chose. They get to change their name, their pronouns. They get to change how they dress, how people address them. But that's not enough. They must be protected from comedians and commentators who might question them. And I deal with this every time I tweet about the lovely Rachel Levine. You know, lots of people obviously find it ridiculous as I do, but there are a fair number of people who immediately, you know, why do you hate her? Why do you do this? Just leave her. It is silly, okay? I mean, if we're trying to be so open-minded that our brains fall out when we do this, when we say this person, Rachel Levine, is a female and is the first female and is somehow blazing the trail for other females. I'm just going to say this. This is an indisputable fact, okay? I know it's tough for people who are obsessed with defending and advancing trans rights and trans people. Rachel Levine would be nowhere near where she is now if she were still a male.
That's
if she
question,
hadn't
actually.
Transitioned, yeah. If she hadn't transitioned and dumped her wife and became a female and became a trendsetter at 54, she's 63 now. If she still were a male, as she was for 54 years, she wouldn't be in the Biden regime. She wouldn't be assistant secretary of HHS. She wouldn't be the first female 4-star general. These things are the result of her transition, which is outrageous. Do you want to be treated equally? Then good, treat them equally. This isn't treating her equally. This is treating her special.
Yeah, the government doesn't do things for merit. They do things for political expediency. They want to look a certain way to a certain group. So it would be interesting to see Rachel Levine's track record before she transitioned and see what her advancement was like before and after. You may be exactly right that she was elevated, you know, after the transition way further than she would have beforehand.
There's no question about it, and I will explain to you why. What will happen here? All right, let me mention our wonderful sponsor, DCU, and then I'm going to tell you why it is an indisputable fact.
Okay.
That Rachel Levine would not be a 4-star admiral, would not be an assistant secretary of HHS, would not have been elevated to this level if she hadn't transitioned. Because I'm just going to flat out explain why Rachel Levine is a horrible person, is a horrible human being, and, by the way, a horrible public servant. And it has nothing to do with the fact that she wears a dress and calls herself Rachel now. Nothing to do with that. This is just a hideous human being, as I will explain after I tell you about DCU. Whether you're buying your first home, your dream home, or looking to refinance the home you love, DCU may have the mortgage program to fit your needs and, more importantly, your budget. Their mortgage experts will walk you through the application process and help remove the hurdles that can make it such a difficult and confusing process. They will bring you right up to the front steps of home ownership. Learn more about rates and programs or to apply today at dcu.org/mortgage. DCU is an equal housing lender and MLS number 466-914, insured by NCUA, membership required. All right, do you recall what Rachel Levine was doing before the Biden regime plucked her from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia?
I don't.
Brought her to D.C., put her before the Senate. She was approved, of course, by the Senate. Nobody objected because, you know, you can't do that. That would be transphobic if you objected to the nomination of this horrible person. I will tell you what she was doing. She was sending coronavirus-positive patients into nursing homes in Pennsylvania where they spread the virus and killed thousands of elderly Pennsylvanians. She was doing what Andrew Cuomo did in New York. He got most of the attention, but there were other people doing it, including her. What makes it worse even than what Cuomo did. Cuomo obviously killed thousands of elderly New Yorkers, lied about it, covered it up, and eventually was forced out, as he should have been. She wasn't forced out. She was promoted. Rachel Levine was promoted after putting COVID-positive patients into nursing homes. And to make matters worse, you know what she did in the dead of night before the virus spread, wiping out thousands of elderly Pennsylvanians? She pulled mom out. Her mother's still alive. Her mother's 95, I believe. Pulled her out of a nursing home and put her in a hotel. Now, if Rachel Levine were still, what the hell was her male name? I forget. If she was still male, identifying as a man, and wasn't in a protected class, Rachel Levine might have, certainly would have been fired, might have been indicted, might have been prosecuted on criminal charges. But you can't do that to Rachel Levine, because then you would be considered a transphobe. So for some reason, she did not have to pay a price for that. Just the opposite. She got promoted, celebrated, and I understand. Trans activists love it. This is big, you know, big, real progress, big news. She's a star now. She's a four-star admiral. But there are thousands of people, families in Philadelphia, who feel much like the families in New York felt about Cuomo. Was, you know, he killed their mothers, grandmothers, fathers, grandfathers, and he almost got away with it. Well, she did get away. Not only did she get away with it, she got, again, promoted. And there's hardly a mention of this. If you read the stories, read any story, Google it, Rachel Levine, four-star admiral, and tell me where it is even mentioned again. You want to dress up and call yourself Rachel and use different pronouns and, you know, that's fine. Knock yourself out. We're denying you nothing. But explain to me why she doesn't have to pay a price for literally sending COVID positive patients and the reason into nursing homes. And the reason I find it worse than what Cuomo did is Cuomo has the defense. He did it early. It was March 25th, 2020 when he was signed the order. He didn't think it was that dangerous. He didn't think it was, in his defense, he didn't think I'm going to kill 15,000 senior citizens. I mean, even an evil scumbag like Cuomo wouldn't do it if he thought it was going to spread like wildfire and kill all these elderly New Yorkers. Well, Levine knew something was wrong here. Why else would she pull her mother out of the nursing home?
Exactly.
What? And she said, oh, no, my mother's strong-minded woman. She did it on her own. Okie dokie. A 95-year-old right. woman is going to say, you know, you bring these coronavirus patients, there's a couple down the hall. I think I want to skedaddle. It's a lie. Much of what she says is a lie. She's a liar. She's a horrible person and a horrible public servant. But she grew her hair out and put on some high heels and said, you know, I'm a female, so the New York Times and the Boston Globe and the mainstream media celebrate it. It's absurd. And if you're a woman, and I don't know any women in the U.S. Public Health Service Corps, but how'd you like to be a woman and you were hoping to maybe be a four-star admiral or maybe run the organization, and maybe you're just, you know, you're up-and-comer and you're female and you've been female their whole life and you're 50-something years old and you see this person just lap you. And you go, wait a second, that person just became a female a couple of years ago. It's just outrageous, and we're not allowed to say it again. If I were on the radio or on TV or whatever, writing in it, they would say, ooh, no, that's all, can't do that. This is a wonderful thing. We must celebrate. So we're celebrating the fact that this person, this horrible person, got away with essentially killing thousands of elderly Pennsylvanians, and we're not allowed to mention it. I mean, we're not allowed to point out that, oh, she has a mixed record. Her record's a mixed bag. Most of the organizations called her the first openly transgender four-star officer.
I did see that. Yeah,
which is fine. That's quite obvious. But the New York Times and the Biden regime called her the first female. So we're not going to distinguish in some places between this transgender person who was a man for 54 years. And I tweeted the picture because it just makes me laugh every time. Was a high school classmate and teammate of Mark Milley at Belmont Hill. They played football together. And Rachel, I guess it wasn't much of a team. They won one game. And so the worst four-star general in U.S. history was a classmate and a teammate of the first four-star admiral in female in the U.S. Public Health Service Corps. But there she is posing, you know, for pictures and getting honored. And, you know, isn't this wonderful? That person, Rachel Levine, wouldn't be there if she were still a male. So you're celebrating someone because they transitioned. That's it. That's the only reason this person is celebrating. That's not equal treatment. And that's not treating someone the the same as you treat everyone else. That's treating someone special.
I don't put it past the government, though, for elevating someone who killed a bunch of elderly people. I mean, Cuomo didn't lose his job because he killed a bunch of elderly.
He tried to kiss an intern.
Right.
And he killed grandma. In fact, he killed 15,000 grandmas and grandpas. And he was going to survive. You're absolutely right. We don't care about elderly people in this country. They're expendable. They're disposable. We elect the president. But when thousands die because of the negligence of a governor, we look the other way until, of course, he starts kissing his underlings and talking dirty to them. Then the man must go. It is always going to be ridiculous that he paid a price for sexual harassment, but not for essentially killing thousands of elderly people. But, you know, at least he was criticized for it. There were protests. There were people saying, you know, he killed my grandma. Who's even mentioning this about Levine? I mean,
I'm seeing very few articles about it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, next thing you know, she's going to make a record and start and get on Twitter and start selling her music. And people say, we'll get to that. I just find it amazing that people, I guess they're afraid. And I understand they're afraid. People are afraid in this day and age to point this out. Clearly, on one side of the aisle, on the left, no one is ever. She could literally show up at the press conference with a severed head and of some grandma, and it wouldn't matter. She must be preserved, protected, because she is a former man, now a female, and that's the most important thing. She is, you want to talk about protected. It's one thing to say you can't, mock someone for their sexual identity. It's another thing to say, look the other way. Don't look at all those dead senior citizens, those dead nursing home residents. No, don't look over there. Look over here. Isn't it wonderful? The first transgender four-star admiral. I know a lot of people pointed this out, but it's worth mentioning that while we were celebrating Rachel Levine, and she put on her new admiral skirt and her admiral outfit and posed for pictures. Isn't this lovely? The Chinese were sending a hypersonic missile around the world, a missile capable of delivering nuclear devices around the world.
What's crazy is that we didn't even see it, though. Like, don't we have a lot of satellites up there that would normally be able to pick up such thing? I thought we had some sort of defense system.
We missed it. The guys who are viewing these satellite images, they were in sensitivity training. They were learning about white rage and critical race theory. They're back on the job now. So if they do it again, we're going to catch them. But when they did that in August, when the Chinese sent this hypersonic missile around the world, we weren't paying attention. We were busy, by the way, surrendering to the Taliban, we were busy vaporizing seven children and surrendering our air base and our embassy to the Taliban. So, you can only do one thing at a time.
I guess, did you see how fast that hypersonic missile was, though? Five times the speed of sound. That's almost 4,000 miles per hour. It's crazy.
4,000. So they're doing this. They're flexing their muscles. They're showing us what they're capable of. We're asleep at the switch, and we're busy celebrating the lovely, the talented Rachel Levine, and celebrating, purging the military of anybody with a 3% or tattoo like you have.
Yeah.
Or
anybody
with a MAGA hat, they're kicking out of the military. But while the Chinese are busy showing us what they're capable of, it's a little scary. Hopefully, we can rid ourselves of these hideous people in 2 years. And then again in 4 years, or in less than 4 years now. But I'm not sure what you can do when you have a lawless regime who is devoted to fundamentally transforming this country. And I know we could do this every day. Peter Ducey and Jen Psaki, we could do it 10 times a day. And I think I found out why, I got an idea, a sense of why Psaki is so arrogant and just so cocky up there sometimes. If you missed it, she was asked a couple things. It kind of made the headlines yesterday. She She mocked the supply chain issues. We've all seen the Biden boat parade, which is hundreds of cargo ships stuck at sea in LA, can't get to port, can't deliver their goods because of manpower shortages and other issues. It's all by design. The Biden regime wants this, but you know, they have to pretend. They have to put on a good face. And Psaki was asked about it, and she mockingly said, oh, the treadmill is going to be a little delayed. That's her response to, you know, not just Christmas gifts and things, but food and medicine, everything else being held up in a, potentially held up in a supply chain crisis. Her response is, yeah, well, oh, your treadmill is late? She's so friggin' arrogant. And then she was asked by Ducey about the flights with illegal aliens being dispersed around the country. And she mocked him because of the time of the flights. It's just amazing. And she again reiterated that, you know, the $3.5 trillion they want to spend, the big liberal boondoggle, the socialist boondoggle, it won't cost a penny. The cost is zero. It's one of the most brazen lies. And obviously, if that were Trump, the whole media would be outraged, but it's okay because it's Biden. Anyway, I got on it was a tweet about Psaki answering, you know, putting Ducey in his place. And I started looking at the comments. She has this fan club who thinks she's wonderful. Oh, man, she bludgeoned, she KO'd Ducey again. She's so great. You know, another Psaki bomb. There's a portion of the public who thinks, you know, she's doing a great job just lying every day. And that's one thing. Obviously, she's paid to lie for Biden. But it's another thing to dismiss people's concerns about whatever supply chain issues or illegal immigration. She's so arrogant, just dismisses them like, pah, pah, oh, yeah, your treadmill's late. Who cares about you?
Yeah, I mean, she's very good at reframing. I think she's good at her job, but it's all just mouthpiece. It's all just lies.
I think she's horrible at her job. She's not a good person,
but she's good at doing what she does by reframing.
I guess so. And I guess it's a very difficult job because you have to defend and explain these lies every day. Like, why?
You do.
Why are you sending illegal immigrants to New York? Well, you don't even have the time of the flight, right? What? You're just bringing people from Texas from the border to New York and sending them free and telling them, you know, good luck, probably giving them some money and some benefit. And your qualm is with the time of the flight? I mean, that's a hell of a deflection. But I did get to see at least a sense of how she has her supporters out there, Carano. She has her fan club, and maybe she's listening to them and doubling down with her arrogance. But
so let me ask you this: you said that you think that the Biden administration wants these ships out at sea, but I can't see how this benefits them at all. We're already going to see rampant inflation because of, I mean, we printed $4 trillion last year. Number one. But number two, you know, if this bill goes through, it's just going to cause a lot more inflation anyway. We're seeing it at, you can see it at the pump. And you can see the cost.
Simple,
I just did my, well, hold on. Let me finish my thingy. And I just built a deck, and the cost of wood kept going up in the six weeks it took me to build that deck. So we're seeing that. And if ships are out at sea, we get a lot of our products from Asia. If those products don't hit the shelves, demand will outpace supply and prices will go up, which will also instigate more inflation concerns. So how does this help the Biden administration?
Well, for simple, never the old Rahm Emanuel, refrain, this old adage, never let a crisis go to waste. So what do they need to fundamentally transform this country, to change everything about the country? You want more people dependent on government. You want a bigger government, a bigger dependent class, people who need government, and this is all designed to change everything fundamentally. Obama wanted to do it. He didn't quite finish the job. Biden, same crew, but Obama's still there. Susan Rice is still there. They're not going to let this opportunity, and they only have 2 years to get it done because there's going to be a landslide, a bloodbath in 2022 because they know they're defying the wishes of the voter. But answer me this. You see that situation at the border, chaos, right?
Yep.
Lawlessness, chaos, just, tens of thousands of Haitians walking into the country, being, you know, dispersed all over the country. Why are they doing that? That's against the law. That's against the wishes of the people, the voters. Why?
So you're saying because you want to change the
because they want to change the country fundamentally. And if it takes a supply chain crisis, if it takes some inflation, if it takes a recession, that's a crisis. And during crises, people are scared and they look to their leaders and say, fix this. And what they're doing is obviously they're lying about the cost of the $3.5 trillion, which hopefully they won't get, but they're going to get a compromise and get like $2 trillion,
right,
which is insane, and which is means we've spent over $10 trillion since the China virus hit our shores, whether it's coronavirus or the crisis at the border or inflation or the supply chain crisis. It's all an opportunity to fundamentally transform the country, which is why Psaki's job, even though most of the media is in her pocket and is our cheerleaders for her, her job's not easy because she has to say, she can't admit the truth that we like these crises, that we want the country to be a mess so we can reshape it and reform it the way we want it. It's the same with election law. They want to make it easier to cheat. And that's what they fight for every day is no voter ID, no new federalizing the election system. That's what they want. Once you realize that, it gets everything is easier to understand.
Can let me ask you another question then. So my perspective is that in the past in this country, 100 years ago or something, or even 50 years ago, that the people who created the crisis, if whoever was in power used to get saddled with it for doing whatever damage they did. But in this situation, it looks like crisis after crisis, the Biden administration is surviving it. You look at Afghanistan, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. In your lifetime, was it different? Did the president get saddled with crises if they caused it?
The difference now is we do not have a media, an independent media. We have just the media wing of the Biden regime, the woke mob. That's what 90% of the media is. They are essentially part of the administration. They are there. Their goal is when they wake up in the morning is how do I help this utterly corrupt president advance his agenda? And God knows they're trying. That was never the case, or it certainly didn't seem like the case. And they also got 81 million votes. Anyone who believes that this empty shell of a man got 81 million votes, I mean, they've found a way to win elections with a president that nobody really likes. I mean, he doesn't instill any passion, any enthusiasm in anybody.
No.
And I realize most of the people were voting against Trump, but it's remarkable when you see this incoherent old man wandering around to think that that guy got more votes than Obama. I mean, 15 million more votes than Obama. That makes you wonder. But,
well, even there was a lot more fervor around Clinton, Hillary, when she ran, 4 years ago, 4 years before. So there was a striking difference in how people were treating it. They were not excited for Biden, but I think you're right.
By the way, update on Joe Biden. He's going to sit down with his friend Anderson Cooper, and they'll have in front of a live audience full of plants who will design to raise their hands and say, what are we going to do about the climate? What are we going to do about transgender rights? And they'll have all pre-scripted questions. He'll make it through as he always does when he's on with Anderson, who will help him. This will be his second interview since May. He's done one interview,
Steffi,
since May.
Yeah.
And I know we do this constantly, but it's worth asking again. What if this were Trump? Trump would do an interview every single day, 2, 3, 5 a day. He's done one press conference, the president of the United States, in 97 days. And I understand he's got his supporters, mostly Trump haters, that don't care. They want to protect him. They don't want him out in front. They don't want him in front of the cameras. But one interview since May, he has never explained the disaster in Afghanistan. The families of the 13 Marines and soldiers who were blown up because of Biden's decision, he got those people killed. These great warfighters, he got them blown up by a suicide bomber, and he's never answered a question about it, never explained it, never apologized. He nuked 7 children, 10 innocent people with a drone. He's never had to answer a question about it. I mean, it's one thing to say, to be happy your guy got elected, and you know, if you're a member of the media, it's one thing that your team is in charge. But have some pride, have some, you know, professional pride, some dignity. He's pissing in your face. He does what he wants. When you ask questions, he turns his back on you, essentially flips you the finger and walks away. And the media doesn't care. They say, oh, great, he's sitting down with Anderson Cooper to talk about freaking climate change or something. He's the most unaccountable president I've ever seen in my lifetime. But I guess that's okay if you're a Trump hater and a good radical liberal, you're good. You're happy.
What you're saying before, it makes complete sense. Right now, the mainstream media is completely on his side, and social media is on his side too. So when you've got that much cover, you can kind of do whatever you want. I didn't believe that after the Afghanistan thing. I thought there was a very good chance that his administration would throw him under the bus and get him removed. And it didn't happen, and it's crazy. But I think you're right. They just got so much cover.
They will succeed eventually. Kamala Harris will be our 47th president, which I welcome because she's such a horrible candidate and such a terrible person. She will be easy to beat in 2024. By the way, I'm already on record. I'm all in on DeSantis in 2024, and I think my preference was reaffirmed yesterday with Donald J. Trump. He can't tweet. We know that. He's only allowed to release statements, PR, whatever, public press releases. He's allowed to release press releases, which I guess that's the only way he can communicate. And he does, and that's all well and good. But did you see the press release on the news that Colin Powell had passed? I'll read it quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. We got to get to a lot of other things here. Statement from Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States, on October 19th. Quote, this is, I believe, real. It's one of those things you read and you go, is this real? Wonderful to see Colin Powell, comma, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction. There's a comma in there for no reason. Yeah. Does he? I understand he writes this, I believe, but does anyone edit it or look at it?
You think someone would check it.
Wonderful to see Colin Powell, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction, be treated in death so beautifully by the fake news media. Hope that happens to me someday. He was a classic rhino, if even that, always being the first to attack other Republicans. He made plenty of mistakes. But anyway, may he rest in peace.
Okay, I understand this now. You're right. If that comma weren't there, it would make a lot more sense. That's crazy.
So the problem you have is the comma?
Well, I mean that was the first problem.
And obviously there's staunch Trump supporters, some of my good friends, and they were immediately, stop criticizing Trump. I'm sorry, this is stupid. I know he hated Powell hated him, much like when John McCain died. I don't want phoniness. I don't want him to say, he's a great American. That was so sad. He hated Powell. Powell hated him. Fine. Don't make any statement.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
And if you must make a statement like this, wait a couple of days. You know, wait a week and just say, you know, we should tell the whole story when a guy passes away. He was a turncoat Republican who never missed the opportunity to dump on other Republicans. You know, every 4 years they'd say, ooh, lifelong Republican endorses the Democrat. I know he's been a Democrat for 20, 30 years. That's fine. He was not a Republican. We get you, Donald Trump, but the body's not buried. You know, they're not done grieving. And he did some great things in his younger days. You know, he was a war hero. He fought in Vietnam. He was a pioneer, not because he changed his gender, but because he reached unprecedented heights in the U.S. military.
But don't you think, like, he's a percentage, say he's 5% responsible for the U.S. going to war against Iraq and killing a bunch of people. Can't we just say, well, he's done way more harm than good in his life? Like
you could say he was manipulated. I don't think that was his decision. It was the intelligence community, by the way, the darlings of the Biden regime, the intelligence community who got it so wrong. They're the ones who said there were mass destruction,
Weapons of mass destruction,
you know, Bush didn't dream that up on his own, and neither did Powell. I mean, they got that. He went before the UN. He gave, you know, had the most regrettable moment of his life. He deceived us all, but it wasn't his decision. I mean, he was misled by the intelligence community. Why? What did you want him to do? Take all these intelligence reports that said there were, you know, weapons of mass destruction and say, I don't believe this crap.
But you can't be that wrong. Like, because if you're using that as going to war should be, it should take a lot of convincing before a country is ready to invade and go take out another country. I mean, you think about it, hundreds of thousands of deaths are because of that decision. And even though those deaths are on the other side of the world, they still matter.
We lost like 4,000 American heroes. I mean, we lost, guys lost limbs. They lost legs. Yeah, lost eyes. They lost their brains. I will always regret the fact that they convinced me. I was foolish. I fell for it. I should have known the intelligence community was thoroughly corrupt. They were lying. They were wrong. Bush wasn't, I guess, skeptical enough. Neither was Colin Powell. It was a mistake. It's sadly, it still is. I've lost all respect for Bush, George W. Bush, and for Powell, but I'm not going to sit there on the day he died and say he was no good. It was the damn fake news media. I mean, but it's just not the time or the place. And again, he's going to be 78 if he wins in the beginning of his second term and 82 at the end. I don't want any more 78-year-old presidents. So, Donald Trump, if you want to do this, criticize Powell, just like with McCain, do it. Just wait a couple of days. It just seems crass, okay? It seems like something Ron DeSantis would not do. You know, you get the same policies as DeSantis, as Trump with DeSantis. You just don't get the baggage. Simple as that.
I'm on Trump's side with this one. I got to say it. I think it's time to be crass. When you've got someone who's done something as destructive as what he did, then it's time to be crass. But
hey, what did he do?
We convinced the American public, him, not just him, but he convinced the American public, the national community, that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And ultimately, the buck has to stop somewhere. Yes, Bush.
So again, you're Colin Powell. You get handed this pile, stacks of intelligence reports that say, you know, this is the CIA, this is the National Intelligence Network, 17 agencies, and they all agree there are weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein used them on Kurds. He used gas on his own people. So we knew he had them. In these reports say he still has them. What's Powell supposed to do?
Have better discernment, but ultimately someone has to bear responsibility for that.
Again, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to say these are all lies, all these intelligence agencies, all these reports from spies on the ground, they're all lies. I'm not going to support this.
Well, yeah, I mean, someone has to take the brunt of that decision.
Hey, again, you say that like it's simple. Like, you get a stack of intelligence reports that say there are weapons of mass destruction.
If you think the man
who's reading them, who knows the people in the intelligence community and for some reason trusts them, reads about this mustard gas that Saddam has. He still has it. He's going to use it. We must stop him. Again, simple question. What is Colin Powell supposed to do?
Have better discernment.
Okay, that's not an answer. Explain to me in tangible terms. What's he supposed to do? He's at his desk. He has all these reports. They
fact
all
check.
Agree.
I mean, but
they all
wrong.
Agree Saddam Hussein has gas, mustard gas. He's going to use it. He's supposed to read them and say, these people are all lying to me?
Yes.
Okay, why would he do that?
I don't know. No, I think he should have fact checked better then. Because those reports were wrong.
The Secretary of State is supposed to fact check his own 17 intelligence agencies, and the president is too, I guess, and say, I don't believe it. He's going to go before the UN and say, don't believe my own CIA. He doesn't have mustard gas. Don't believe it. We're not going in. We're not going to fight this war.
There was no dissent in any one of those 17 organizations that you quoted. There was no dissent.
Maybe he was skeptical. Maybe he asked questions. But in the end, you're blaming him and people are calling him whatever, a war criminal, because he believed his own intelligence agencies. I mean, the blame is with these corrupt intelligence agencies. Why do we blame this entirely on Bush and Cheney and Powell? I'm all for blaming them. It was a monumental mistake, and they never really paid a price for it. But Why do we not blame the people who deserve the blame, our corrupt intelligence agency? Why don't we all agree they should blow these agencies up and start all over again?
Yeah, my argument is not to blame them too. I think they deserve the blame, but Colin Powell deserves X percentage of the blame for getting us into a war that killed hundreds of thousands of people.
Hey, yeah, that's fine. But you never explain what we're supposed to do.
What are we supposed to do now?
You think Trump would do that? If you said, Donald, what was Powell supposed to do if the intelligence agencies told him he had mustard gas and he was about to use it? He was supposed to say, I don't know. You guys, I don't trust you. Well, it's his own CIA.
Yes, I know. Is he responsible, though, ultimately for making that call? Yes, he is. So if you're responsible for making that call, then ultimately you fact-checking, the burden is on you to fact-check. It really is.
Okay, the Secretary of State is supposed to fact-check 17 intelligence agencies. How would you do that? Like send out an intern?
I don't know. I didn't have his job.
Hey,
but
you know, why don't you go to the Iraq and head into?
But he has to bear some responsibility.
Head into Iraq and find out if if this is legit.
But do you agree he has to bear some responsibility, right? So on the day of his death, it's okay to say
he regrets it and he says he regrets it. But the idea that any of them, Bush, Cheney, made this independent of the intelligence agencies.
That's not what I said, though.
It's insane.
That's not my argument.
But you just said the Secretary of State should have fact-checked the reports, which I'm sure were thorough and convincing, from our corrupt intelligence agencies.
I don't remember Colin Powell as an American hero. I remember him as someone who got us into a war that killed hundreds of thousands of people, and I think that's a fair assessment.
A kid from the Bronx became a general, a four-star general, and became Secretary of State. I'd say that's a pretty impressive American story.
It is, but on balance, if your life is the end result is that you've killed more people than you've saved, then on balance, your life was poor. Like, we should remember that when they die.
Well, he fought in Vietnam. I'm not sure how many lives he took or saved, but I think his proudest moment is he reached the same height as Rachel Levine. He got 4 stars. That's certainly something to be proud of. Let's be done with these lying, scummy politicians and get to an American hero. Ted Cruz.
Do you want to do Shea first, though, before we do Cruz?
Yeah, I'll do Shea. Oh, yes. Let me do Shea Concrete, and then we'll talk about Ted Cruz and John Stewart. I know this is not popular, but I hate John Stewart. I just want to bash him about the head and face, if you'll let me. But first, let me tell you about Shea Concrete. As you know, Shea Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps ready to be installed in your home. If you're building a new home, a remodeling and replacing an old staircase, Shea has great values with designs that will fit your home. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you much better curb appeal. Make your front steps the talk of the town, or at least the talk of the neighborhood. Removing stairs, as we know, the old ones, that's a pain. You don't want to do that. Shea can do that for you. The stairs are heavy. They're awkward to move. You know what you can do? You can sit in the window and watch. Shea will take care of all of that for you. When they're done, you'll have a great-looking new entrance to your home that will add value. It's more than an upgrade. It's an investment in your home, people. With one phone call, Shea will deliver a turnkey installation experience. In a few hours, you'll get a brand new front entrance, and your neighbors, they'll all be jealous. Learn more about Shea's concrete steps at shaconcrete.com. Also, never forget this, they're still hiring. They're always hiring. It's a great company. They're doing great, and they're looking for good people. Right now, they have between 15 and 20 open positions available. These are career opportunities for all different types of people and skill sets. You just have to pass a drug test. That's all. Hey, no big deal. And you can go work for this company, which is awesome. You know what? Follow them on Twitter, because they update you on their employees when they reach their 1 year, 5 year, 10 year anniversary. And they look happy. They look fulfilled working for Shea Concrete. You can do that too. Check them out at shaconcrete.com. All right, we got to move here. Toronto, I want to get to Howie Hampton's and John Stewart. But Ted Cruz, I'll just mention this quickly. I know he drives people nuts, which is one reason I love him. But it's something, I would say, or someone would say, when we find out the lawless Biden regime is taking tens of thousands of illegal aliens, in this case, most recently, Haitians, all by design. They get the Haitians here. They spread them out the country. They assume they will eventually vote Democrat. They try to change the demographics. It's, no one's stopping them. And then people voted for this. Ted Cruz is a Texas senator. He knows his state has been overwhelmed. He knows the Biden regime does not care. They want to change Texas from red to blue. It's already purple. They're succeeding. Well, lots of times we mention this, you know, it's just in passing. Ted Cruz introduced a bill that would make new port of entry for illegal aliens in their 13 different locations, including, God bless them, Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket.
Perfect.
And this is an actual bill, which means you have to support yay or nay, support or no. How many Democrats, how many of these frickin' hypocrites who don't mind overwhelming Laredo, Texas, are going to say, yeah, let's bring them to Martha's Vineyard? And he has a bunch of locations, like there's a few in California, including Napa, where the French Laundry is.
Yes.
In D.C., in Georgetown, but I want to focus on Cambridge, Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, Block Island, Newport, Rhode Island. These are ports of entry where tens of thousands of illegal aliens, you know, with, you know, no discernible skills, just looking to you know, make their way as new Americans. Why not? Why not? I mean, Martha's Vineyard's a lovely place. Nantucket, wonderful place. Why shouldn't they start there? All Cruz is doing is shining the light of on the hypocrisy of these people. They don't mind dumping them in Texas or in Lewiston, Maine, for that matter, or in whatever, Detroit. But God, don't you let them anywhere near Nantucket. No,
I not mean, near the pretty people. Well,
Martha's Vineyard, do you think Obama's going to let them near his private beach? No. You think John Kerry is going to let them near his mansion when he's, you know, out windsurfing or sailing? Do you think he wants to look at these little migrant Haitian children? Of course not. God bless you, Ted Cruz. Keep pushing it. I laughed out loud when he said, you know, we're going to see. And already, I think the governor of Rhode Island tweeted about how, oh, they can't handle this. Just leave them in Texas, in Arizona. Just, you know, don't bring them here. You know, not in my backyard. Keep it up, Ted. All right, let's get to John Stewart. Can I just say, I hate John Stewart, and not I don't hate him as much as I hate the reaction to him. He's kind of this anointed one, this sainted one. When he speaks, there's like a hush in the room and a halo around his head. He's a god to the authoritarian left. And the thing that I can't stand, and he did an interview with the New Yorker, I don't know what he's selling, but he likes to be this sage, you know, this wise old man with a gray beard who steps back and criticizes the current fray, you know, his successor, all his successors in late night. By the way, Trevor Noah has less than 20% of the audience that John Stewart had. He's lost Stewart's entire audience. It's and by the way, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, Colbert, Corden aren't doing much better.
I mean, they're the big difference is Stewart was funny. I mean, I don't agree with him politically, but he was a funny guy. The other guys can't, they can't, but yeah, but there's no humor from any of the others.
He's certainly funnier than Trevor Noah.
Yeah,
but,
no humor.
Here's what I can't stand is when someone like Stewart, who is the single least likely person to ever be canceled, to ever experience cancel culture, he rails against people who complain about cancel culture. God, I hate that. It's like a man telling to women to stop complaining about the pain of delivering a baby or something. Stop whining. He doesn't know what it's like. He will never know what it's like. John Stewart again. He will never be canceled. He'll never come close to be. He'll never experience. He doesn't know what it's like. Cancel culture, as we know, only works one way. There are no liberals who ever get canceled. They don't. They never will. They do the canceling. John Stewart's audience, his supporters, his acolytes, they are cancel culture. They're the ones that email businesses. They're the ones that harass, you know, TV stations, newspapers, radio stations, companies, advertisers. His biggest fans are, you know, Media Matters. They're the vile vultures that sit there and watch, you know, Tucker Carlson or watch or listen to, you know, Dan Bongino and say, oh, he said something. Let's bombard his advertisers. Those people are scum of the earth, and they're huge John Stewart fans. They're the ones who think he's you know, the great and wonderful Oracle who speaks for all of them. He goes on or sits down with the New Yorker, you know, typical elitist garbage, and says people who complain about, you know, cancel should just, you know, shut up. He's heard enough from them. But let's listen to this a-hole, Jon Stewart.
Talk about cancel culture.
Hold on. Why do you start it there? He just said the people who talk about cancel culture. How do we miss that part?
The
people. You just started with cancel culture. I want him saying the people who talk about cancel culture.
Well, I'm not sure I've got the in there. I think
I will set it up for people. Here's what you just missed. The part where he says the people who talk about cancel culture. So go ahead.
There it is.
Talk about cancel culture.
Why that happens.
Never seem to shut the fuck up about. Like, there's more speech now than ever before. It's not you can't say, it's that when you say it, look, the internet has democratized criticism. What do we do for a living? We talk shit. We criticize, we postulate, we opine, we make jokes, and now other people are having their say. And that's not cancel culture, that's relentlessness.
Oh, I gotta hate this guy. First of all, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He does not know what he's talking about because he's never experienced. He doesn't even understand what cancel culture is because he wakes up in the morning and has no worries. Obviously, he's got plenty of money and, you know, he's got plenty of fans who worship him. He doesn't know what it's like. He doesn't know what Tucker Carlson lives through daily, or Laura Ingraham, or Dan Bongino, or anybody that is in the crosshairs of the mob, of the woke mob. Of course we have the internet and plenty of voices. By the way, that has made it easier for the mob to try to cancel you. They just make an email chain, a form email, and just bombard advertisers every day, or executives every day. Jon Stewart will never, ever have to worry about that. Neither will Noah Trevor or Hulk Hogan, any of those assholes. They don't live that life. They don't know what that world is like. For him to dismiss it, oh, they just won't shut up about it. Okay, just let me throw out somebody, anybody. You know, let's throw out Mike Milbury, Jeremy Rona, Chris Harrison. Let's talk about Sage Steele. Let's talk about people who've been canceled or about to be canceled for nothing, Jon Stewart. How about that? How about if you're, you know, you name it, Chris Harrison, and you ask for a little grace and a little forgiveness for someone, they turn that on its head and say you're racist, and they cancel you from a job you've had for years. Oh, he won't shut the fuck up about it, says Jon Stewart. Why should he shut up about it? He's been canceled for nothing. He's lost millions of dollars for nothing, and dickheads like you don't understand it because you don't live it. God, that drives me crazy. I got to admit, that drives me when they just dismiss it. That's why, you know, Bill Maher is kicking ass, because Bill Maher, and by the way, this little stooge from the New Yorker asked him about Bill Maher. I guarantee you Stewart is jealous because Bill Maher has the balls to actually have an honest opinion about something and not sit there and say, oh, those people, those cancel culture people, they won't stop whining. Well, if you're, you know, Mike Milbury or Sage Steele, and you've been canceled, you've lost your job, why should you stop whining? You've lost your job for nothing. For nothing. Your company has given in to the mob for nothing. They're cowards. These corporate cowards give in, throw you under the bus, and you're supposed to shut up and take it because Jon Stewart thinks you should stop bitching? Oh, God, I can't stand this guy. I can't stand anybody who lives in that bubble, in that protected bubble, and turns around and says, why don't you people stop complaining? All you did was lose your job and, you know, millions of dollars and maybe your home, and you're still whining about that? Why can't you be like me and you know, sit there and pontificate every now and then, sitting on a huge pile of money and millions of people who worship you? But just don't complain. Just don't complain. Oh, go screw Jon Stewart. Anyway, speaking of people who don't know what it's like, I want to finish with Howie Hamptons because I don't want to miss an opportunity. Howie Hamptons is, as we all know, the biggest sellout in American history. Just a complete and utter fraud. He used to be a rebel. He used to be a libertarian, by the way. He used to you know, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, which used to be the role of journalists. Now it's the opposite. They comfort the comfortable, like, you know, the corporate, the, like the Biden regime. Howie Hampton's is every day apparently attacking Kyrie Irving and others like him, Jonathan Isaac, Cole Beasley, you know, Joe Rogan, anyone who's reluctant to get the vaccine. He has become the spokesman. It's amazing the people who used to be rebels. Tom Morello, you know, from Rage Against the Machine, is now raging for the state is what he does. He's doing a blog or a blog for the New York Times.
Yeah.
Rage Against the Machine guy is now the voice of the state.
They were all socialists to begin with anyway. They just wanted to overthrow and create a socialist. They just didn't know what they were talking about.
And now they speak for the state. Howie Hampton's is a subservient voice of the state. He speaks for the Biden regime. He speaks for the governor in New York. He doesn't have a rebellious thought in his head. For obvious reasons, in this way, I reluctantly don't blame him. He saw this coming. He knew he couldn't survive being the rebel. He knew they would get him canceled. He knew people would dig out his old tapes when he used the N-word and the F-slur freely on a daily basis. He literally flat out says, "I never said the N-word," and people bring out the tapes where he actually said the N-word, and he said, "Nope, didn't say it." He, you know, to his credit, I guess, he has survived when it did not seem possible. He has just changed his MO, his approach, his personality, completely, 100%, become a hardcore authoritarian liberal who supports the regime, who supports the media, who supports the deep state, all that. He's all in. He's not the guy he used to be. I think most of his loyal fans, his hardcore fans, understand that, and they're disgusted. But do we have him attacking Kyrie again?
Yeah, here we go.
People, I got to hand it to him. You talk about stupid. There's some people who are willing to walk away from millions of dollars and not get vaccinated. And I got to say, they're so stupid. They're putting their mouth where their money is. I got to tell you, it's pretty incredible. One of them is that basketball player,
Kyrie Irving.
He's my favorite dude who's like putting his money where his mouth is. You got to say, in terms of idiots, he's got to be the top idiot in the country right now. Guy's got a chance as a young man to make millions of dollars. All he's got to do is get vaccinated, but he doesn't want to get vaccinated. So
I've never heard a reason why. Did he have a reason?
He doesn't need a reason. It's just that he's stupid, you know, because this guy's got a history of being stupid. He's one of those guys who's a flat earther, too. And you know what it is? He doesn't know anything.
Oh, boy.
He just knows, well, I can't figure. His mind works in a very strange way. He's like, I can't figure out gravity. So therefore, it probably doesn't exist.
I love it. The elitist white liberal calls the young black guy stupid. I love it. You know, he doesn't, he's like Jon Stewart, does not have to worry any longer about any blowback. His history is erased. He's on the right team now, so it's A-okay. I don't know about Kyrie Irving, but I will say Jonathan Isaac is 1,000 times smarter than Howie Hampton's or Robin Quivers or anyone on that show. It's amazing. They've all just completely sold out. It's just so disappointing. But anyway, that is the latest from Howie Hampton's. Again, we're celebrating today. It's a big day, October 20th, the first female four-star general in the public, whatever it's called. What's that called again?
The USPHSC, public. I like to call
Did
it.
Did you know there was such a thing?
No, of course not.
U.S. Public Health Service Corps. Normally, I'd say it's a disgrace that she has the same stars on her shoulder as, you know, real guys who serve in the military like Mark Milley. But I think it's embarrassing for her that she actually has the same stars as Mark Milley because he's the absolute worst. At least, you know, she hasn't been railing about white rage. She will probably, but let's all, you know, together join hands and celebrate. We shall overcome. Women, now that we have our first female four-star admiral, I'm sorry, I'd say general four-star admiral. It's a wonderful thing. Everyone in Woburn should be proud. Everyone at Belmont Hill should be proud. The lovely, the talented. There's no stopping Rachel Levine. Maybe she'll be our first transgender president.
Let's
Wouldn't that
do
be
it.
A wonderful
I'm
thing?
In. Let's
wonderful
do this.
Thing. And all you folks who lost grandparents and parents in Pennsylvania nursing homes, just shut up, as Jon Stewart would say. Just shut up. All right, let's leave it there, Carano. Anything I miss? I got a whole long list of stuff here.
Oh, but just that John Hinckley has his own Twitter.
Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. And, yes. Yeah, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. If you missed it, John Hinckley, who shot Ronald Reagan, is not only free, let out, free to live his life. He's on Twitter. Donald J. Trump is not on Twitter. You know, Milo Yiannopoulos is on Turtle Boy. You know, he's on Twitter some days he's not. But John Hinckley, does he have blue check mark or is he just?
Not that I saw as of yesterday.
No, but not only is he tweeting, but he's making music. We'll do that tomorrow, or maybe we'll do it Friday. We'll get to John Hinckley's new music. We'll rate it. You're the musical expert. I just like what I like. You said it's kind of sad country music, which I like. So we'll see tomorrow whether we're all in on John Hinckley's new, you know, he's offering it for a sale, right?
I see it on Spotify right now. I don't know if there's a place where you can buy it.
I'll make a Spotify channel. I'll make a playlist, include some of John Hinckley's hits, but we'll check that out tomorrow and we'll, you know, check out his tweets. It's good to see, you know, and this, as John Stewart says, there's more voices than ever. You don't have the voice of Donald Trump, but you do have the voice of John Hinckley. So we'll check that out and we will discuss it tomorrow. Thanks to everybody for watching and for listening and for commenting. Thanks to you, Carano. We appreciate it. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Finding suitable mental health medications can be a challenge. The GeneSight test may help. Did you know that genetics can play an important role in gaining insight on how a person may respond to various medications? Understanding this may help reduce medication trial and error. GeneSight is a genetic test that analyzes variations in DNA. It shows how genes may affect someone's metabolism or response to medications commonly prescribed to treat depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. Visit GeneSight.com for more information.